parent your test pasuk yichatz. We'll see him. We'll see Torah's bnei amecha. So you can't take revenge, please. Can't take revenge or bear a grudge against your nation. You should love your friend like you do yourself. Ani Hashem. I am HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the line over here. So what we're going to concentrate on is Ahav Elokecha Kamocha. So number one, the Chidah says that Ahava is the gematria of 13, which is the gematria of Echad. That love causes one to have true Achdus. That Achdus comes in when one has that Ahava. If you have two friends that show love for one another, Ahava and Ahava, Ahava plus Ahava, 13 plus 13 is 26. That's a Shem Avaya. So the end of the Pasuk is Ani Hashem. Says the Chidah, that's an incentive to do the mitzvah. When two people show their love for one another, and the Ahav Elokecha Kamocha is done from Reuven to Shimon and Shimon to Reuven, then Ani Hashem. You have the Shechina that rests upon those two people. Everything works out well with those people. Rav Zusha Mianipol from Hanipol once had 10 rubles that he wasn't sure what to do with. He was going somewhere. He knew he wasn't going to be able to bring the 10 rubles with him. So he decided, he opened up a chumash and he put down on the pasuk lo signovu, that you're not allowed to steal. He put the 10 rubles on that pasuk and then he closed the chumash. Right? He came back later and he found 5 rubles on the pasuk of V'ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha. So clearly that's not a kim of V'ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha. But the question is, what exactly does that mean to love your friend like you love yourself? What exactly does that mean that a person should be in... how do you do that? How is it possible to love your friend like you love yourself? So Rashi quotes Rabbi Kiva. Loving your friend, V'ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha, zeh klal gadol batorah. If you don't know that line, you clearly have not listened to Uncle Moshe or 613 Torah Avenue in your entire life, and I feel sorry for you. But it's clear, zeh klal gadol batorah. The Shari Aaron explains that Rashi says the following, that many other mitzvos are dependent upon this one. If you love your friend, that you will never steal from him, do something bad to him, act in a bad way toward him. You would never do that because this is your friend, the Aftel Recha Kamocha. How could you do that? You wouldn't take away his livelihood. You do what's best for him. By fulfilling this mitzvah, the Aftel Recha Kamocha, you automatically fulfill every other mitzvah that is out there. That's what makes this mitzvah so special and so great, that you're able to do more and more. And the truth is, this all comes from a sefer called Yama Talmud, quoted by Ma'aseh Shel Torah, the Shari Aaron, the Pardes Yosef. It says, if everyone felt this way about each other, the whole world would be perfect. Because no one would want to do anything wrong, knowing that their actions could cause other Jews to be punished. Because that's the way we are. We deal with these things together. If one Jew does something wrong, other people get punished. We never want that to happen. Therefore, they all say, based on the Yama Talmud, that's the reason why we can stop the whole world from all bad things if we do that. And a Mela that brings about Emunah. The Chassam Sofer explains what this means is when a Rav shows very little patience with his Talmidim and he wants to spend more of his time learning on his own than dealing with the Talmidim that he has. Where he says, like, you guys are just a waste of time and I'm not going to deal with anybody else. I'm just going to do things on my own. I'm going to sit there and learn and do things on my own, right? Then, says the Chassam Sofer, the Talmud should never spend time with that type of a Rav. Should never go near that type of a Rav. He says a Rav has to be utterly and completely dedicated to his Talmidim, to do whatever they want to do to the detriment of his own learning. That even if he won't be able to do it, this is the Chassam Sofer. He says if he's going to lose out from it, good. That's what you're supposed to do. It's not about you anymore. If the Rav, and here's how he learns it, if the Rav is like a Malach Hashem Tzvakos, a Malach is an omei. He doesn't keep improving or getting better as time goes on. A malach stays where he is and doesn't get any better. If the Rav is like a malach, that he's willing to be okay with where he is, doesn't have to be a mahalik all the time, staying where he is and limiting himself, sacrificing his own learning for his student's Torah, then you have to learn from a person. And therefore the Chassam Sofer says, that's the greatest klal in learning Torah. The person teaching it should love others as much, if not more so, than he loves himself. That's the concept of what you should do over here. That's the idea of what the Chassam Sofer says. The Chassam Sofer gives another explanation. Tell me to love each other. They can learn so much from one another. Only if there is that Abba between one another can they accept it for another. If you've ever seen two chavrusas trying to argue with each other where neither one of them really respects the other, Dave, you know what I'm talking about, right?
I'm just saying.
Let's say we're just chavrusas, not in the Rav Talmud relationship. Then, when it comes to that, then all of a sudden, the Abba allows them to learn. When there's none and they keep arguing and they're not agreeing with one another, that's when there's destruction. They can't learn, they can't deal with one another, they can't get anything done with one another. That's the concept, he says, where that's how the Ksav Sofer understands it. The Ibn Ezra says the way to accomplish this mitzvah is to appreciate it when something good happens to your friend as if it happened to you. Your friend is having something great, he just had a baby, Baruch Hashem, it's as if I had a baby. That's the way to be able to look at it. Your friend wins the lottery, it's as if I won the lottery, even if he doesn't give you any money. Even if he's not willing to give you anything whatsoever, he's not building a roller coaster in your backyard. Nonetheless,
you didn't give yourself money.
It's not that. Your friend makes a brit or a bar mitzvah, you're sitting there, but that's that. It's if you yourself are making that brit, that's the mitzvah. That's the mitzvah, says the Ibn Ezra. That's the idea. Says the Sforno. He explains it the way that you've probably always heard it. Put yourself in your friend's shoes and ask yourself, what would I want in that situation? Now, there's an interesting little line to be able to understand this for you. Okay, listen, this is this case. I'm not going to tell you whether or not I agree with this psak, but at least to understand where that goes from. What does it mean to put yourself in your friend's shoes? A guy came up, there's an alumnus of that, a guy came up to Rav Zilberstein and said he had a shiloh. What happened? This guy is makbid gomer never to take his tefillin off before the end of davening. He always leaves his tefillin from the beginning of davening until the end of davening. He always has his tefillin on the entire time. So a guy came up to him and told him, listen, I left my tefillin at home. I have to borrow your tefillin. The only person that has the same type of tefillin as I, let's say it was, you know, two Lubavitchers and a minion full of Ashkenazim, lefties or whatever it is, said I have to borrow your tefillin. If I don't use your tefillin, if I don't borrow your tefillin, I'm not going to be able to wear tefillin today because my shirut to get to my place, the train that takes me to wherever I'm supposed to go, is leaving soon. And otherwise, I'm going to have to take like six buses. It's going to take me hours to get to work this morning. I can't go that late. So it's either I borrow your tefillin or I don't wear tefillin today. So the guy said, listen, I'd lend you, but I have a hug. Then I never take my tefillin off before the end of davening. I just don't do it. So I don't know which one is more important, my hanhaga or the fact that you're not wearing tefillin. Now, it's an interesting line over here. Okay? Now, obviously, what would I do? Obviously, I take off my tefillin and give it over to that guy. But remember, this is a person who, he holds of this as his hanhaga. The one thing that he does more than anything in the world, this is what he does. That's what he felt was his hanhaga. Well, that's where this is over. So he said, so what do I do? Is it better for me to take off my tefillin and give it to this guy? Or is it better for me to keep my anhaga? What should I do in this situation? So Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein paskin for him, and he said, first of all, can't you do a chesed? He said, I don't know which one is that. Is it a chesed for myself or a chesed for that guy? Myself, I come before anybody else. So maybe my anhaga comes before everybody else. So Rav Yitzchak told him, here's the deal. If you are in his situation, and you needed to take your tefillin off early in order to make your bus to get to work, or you'd have to travel for 2.5 hours to get to work, it would take you through buses and trains or whatever it is in order to get to work, would you do that? What would you do if you were in his shoes? What would you do? And it's not put yourself in his shoes. You left your tefillin at home, and then you go, because then you could say, well, I didn't leave my tefillin at home. I wouldn't leave my tefillin at home. That's not me. I wouldn't have done that. But if you're in his shoes, this is your situation. What's your situation? What's the situation that you are in? Here it is. It's you have a choice. Put on tefillin, take off your tefillin early, or miss your bus and terrible things could happen. Which one are you going to choose? Which one are you going to do? That's the situation. That's the thing that you have to decide. That's what it means to put yourself in your friend's shoes over there. That's the idea behind it. Now, I'm sorry?
What did
it didn't say. I'm assuming he did the chesed, because who wouldn't?
Yeah, sure.
I don't want to say that. Yeah, I kept again, like, we're so desensitized. We're just like, yeah, sure, take it. Like, I don't need my tefillin. Like, well, I can't even believe I wore it in the first place. See, this guy actually felt like he was putting on tefillin, like it was his thing. That's the one thing that we're forgetting here. Like, we're desensitized to the fact that, like, I would do anything to take off my tefillin as soon as I could. That's what the guy felt. That's the only reason why. Yeah, so that's the idea. That's the sworn of the Chizkuni as well. The Chafetz Chaim says it's common practice to want more and more for yourself, and then to tell others, why do you need that? Don't you have enough? So imagine if you said that to yourself. You sit there and you're like, hey, that's a really nice tie. Do you need it, see? Do you really need it? Do you want it or do you need it? The same way you want more for yourself and you want the best for yourself, that's what you should want for your friend. That's the Atal Recha Kamoka, the Kima, the Mitzvah, is by doing that for somebody else. That's the idea behind it. There's a Ksava Kabbalah, a tremendous Sefer, that it goes through all the things that entails. It goes through everything that I mentioned over here. But the Rambam, in Sefer HaMitzvos, in Reish Vav, Paskins like the Sforno, in Hilchos Deos, he says the way to accomplish Mitzvah is even more so. Listen to this. You know how you accomplish V'hatzel Recha Kamoka? Praising your friend. Going up to your friend and say, you're awesome. You're a great guy. You're a tremendous person. You guys are all awesome for being here tonight. I just was accomplishing V'hatzel Recha Kamoka. I did it. Just by praising your friend, you get it. That's how good it is. That's how easy it is. Being careful with your friend's money or his honor, as if it were your own. All of this would be true. Just to say something great about your friend would actually be a kiyum. That's it. You're done. You've done your mitzvah in the perfect way. There are so many other applications as well. The Rambam and Hilchos of Avil says that all forms of gemilas chesed come from the ahavta l'recha kamocha. You go to a funeral. You're menachem avel. You're mevaker cholin. All of those mitzvahs that we're talking about, every mitzvah you can think of that is included in Gemilas Chassid is under the heading of Yahavta L'Reyecha Kamocha. They're all there under this. There's an unbelievable Gemara Kiddushin Mem Aleph that says it's forbidden to marry a woman that you don't know what she looks like. You can't engage yourself to a woman that you have never seen before because Yahavta L'Reyecha Kamocha, and you might not love her if you actually saw her. That's the idea behind it. Unbelievable thing. The disciple uses it as a warning, Rebbe Chanan as well, that you shouldn't hurt another person. How do you know you're not allowed to punch a person in the face? How do you know that's true? How do you know you're not allowed to? Said the disciple and Rebbe Chanan, because you wouldn't hit yourself, so you're not allowed to hit somebody else. So if it's kind, the mitzvah is being accomplished when you're mistameach another person. You make a person laugh, you're accomplishing v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. You go to a wedding and you cheer someone up. That all of those things are going to be v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. They're all included in this over there. The Rashbam says there's no chiyuv to love a Russia. That's not a chiyuv. Someone who does good things, it's only someone who would do good things who would be considered your friend. That's the person via haftol reichel kamocha. But somebody who's not a good person, who you wouldn't do, that's not included. What's up, son?
It sounds different than like the prophet. You come up as a Jew and you're a Russia.
So, Regat, the Ora Chaim HaKadosh says...
You're saying be your friend.
Give me one second in this one. The Ora Chaim HaKadosh says it as well, that if a person is a mummer or an apikoris, he says, if it's someone that you're permitted to hate, not just somebody you don't like, but somebody you're permitted to hate, a Russia, then you're not allowed to love him, he says. Both of those, the Rashbam and the Ora Chaim HaKadosh, just remember, the Rashbam is a Rishon. Ora Chaim HaKadosh granted an apple, but we're dealing with two very heavy hitters here. Rav Sternbuch points out from the Chazon Ish that although this is true, someone who does averos is still called reyacha. Since we learn from this pasuk that someone who's chayiv misa deserves a good, easy death. Did you know that? You know, when a guy is chayiv sreifa, you know why we don't burn him to death by throwing him in a fire? Instead, we take hot lead, pour it down his throat so he dies early. You know why we do that? V'yahavta l'reyacha kamocha. We learn it from v'yahavta l'reyacha kamocha. What does that mean? A guy who's chayiv misa by sreifa. I agree with that. But regardless, that's not the real reason. But what happens? V'yahavta l'reyacha kamocha. Let's think back. He's your Rea, he's your friend, he's a Russia. He's Chayiv Misa. He's getting Sreifa. That's without a question a Russia, right? Yet still you can say the Pasuk of Yahavta L'Reicha Kamocha applies to him. Says the Chazon Ish, L'maisa, even when the guy is a Russia, if the guy has a chance of doing tshuva, you're still allowed to love him like a friend. And maybe that's what you're talking about, Sal. The idea is, V'yahavta l'reicha kamocha still applies by a Russia who can do tshuva if you just knew how to give proper muster. What's up? So in each case, you do it in the best possible way. The example is given by Sreifa because there's two obvious examples. When you say Sreifa, you think of a guy burning at the stake. But we don't do that. We pour hot lead down his throat. Says the Gemara, why? We say Barlo Misa Yafa. We want to give him a better death. So that's given. Skila also, obviously, it's got to be in a way where the guy dies quickly instead of dying slowly. That's how it's to be done. They throw him off a cliff and then they throw rocks at him if he doesn't die. Yes. They put it on him. I don't even know if they even throw the rock on him. They sort of put the rock on him so that he loses everything. That seems what it is. And then, if not, then they start throwing. It's easier. It's easier. But yes, however they do it, it's going to be over here. But the Ramban asked the question that everybody asked. It's the question of all Rishonim, all Achronim. How is it possible to love my friend as much as I love myself? There's no way. I love myself a lot. There's no way that I can find this amount of love for somebody else. There's no way. How could I do it? Granted, my family. Fine, and economy, this, that, right? But it's not even halakhically true. Halakhically, chayecha kodmin l'chayecha vercha. Your life comes before anybody else's. So if it's a choice between you and your friends, you come first. You have two people. You have two people that are sitting in a desert, and you have one bottle of water. The v'yahavta l'reicha kamocha means share the water, and both of you should die. But the halakha is chayecha kodmin. Punch the guy in the face and finish off the water. That's the halakha. The halakha is chayecha kodmin l'chayecha vercha. So I don't understand. What does this mean, v'yahavta l'reicha kamocha? Rather, he says like this. Say to yourself that you would do anything for your friend without limits. Appreciate everything that you do for him, everything that he does, and don't be jealous of him. Never think to yourself that you could be jealous of such a person for anything he has. That's v'yahavta l'reicha kamocha.
Canteen and two people in the desert, and the other person has a canteen. You punch him in the face and steal the canteen.
No, you can't steal it. It's a good question, actually.
What I'm saying is,
you can't do an avera for chayecha kodem lechayecha vercha. You can't do an avera. Correct. You can instead, you can do whatever you need to do, but you don't have anything more than that. Unfortunately, it's that. It doesn't matter.
Then you don't punch in the face.
Wait, I'm not giving you examples. Just the halacha is chayecha kodem. Not telling what to do in any specific instance, but that's the idea behind it. Reb Dessler in Michtav Me'Eliyahu on page 118 explains it in terms of one's body. A person's arm can never be jealous of your eyes. My arm is not jealous of my eyes, as beautiful as my eyes are, because my arm has its job and the eyes have those jobs, right? It's not like you're sitting there and just like the arm is like fighting the other arm, like that doesn't happen, because you know that everything works together to become one body. That's the way things go, right? There's no way that somebody would mess up when it comes to stuff like this. There is thus one ratzon for the entire body, and this is the concept the pasuk is trying to stress. If you treated your friend like he was you, like he was just another part of your body, he's just another arm, then of course you would never have such a situation where you'd have a problem of understanding how one thing can be without the other. You'd love your friend like you love yourself. You would treat him as one arm would treat the other arm. But further than that, then it says something so beautiful. This is the way to not take revenge against somebody else. Lo sikom v'lo sitor. Don't take revenge. V'afdol reyecha kamocha. How does a person not take revenge against another person? So it goes like this. If someone was chopping a massive piece of meat, a frozen piece of meat. You ever chop a really frozen piece of meat? So you're taking a huge butcher's knife, right? And he takes it and he's smacking it down. And then finally, he slips, right? He slips and he hits his arm, right? He gives himself a massive cut. Okay, so obviously he runs to the hospital, etc. Does he punish the other arm? He'd sit there and be like, what did you do? Of course not. Says the Nitziv, of course not. Why? Because the arm was not the problem. It was obvious something slipped. It happens. That type of thing happens. That's the Ha'afel Recha Kamocha, says the Nitziv. Ha'afel Recha Kamocha, to not take revenge against a person is to think of him as another arm. It's your left arm that did against your right arm. I'm sorry?
It's a syndrome that a person, that the arm behaves on its own. It's in the mind of its own. It's a real thing.
That's like the famous story, right?
It's a real thing.
Was whoever the Rav was who got the surgery, you know what I'm talking about? Well, that Rav got a surgery, he had something wrong with his arm, so somebody wanted to put him inside a... I forgot who it was, it might have been Shmuel Rozovsky of the Punovich, but they wanted to put him in a little sling to keep his arm in place. And he said, what do I need the sling for? He said, so you can keep your arm in place, it stays in the right place. He said, who's the balabas? My arm's the balabas or I'm the balabas? If I tell my arm not to move, it won't move. And for the next however many weeks that he needed it, he stayed like this all day long, every day. He just kept his arm like that, in that position, every single day. That's the only thing I'm thinking of right now. But obviously that's impossible for a normal human being, or anyone, to do. That doesn't happen. That's not there. But that's the way the Nitziv looks at it. Repersh points out, he does not say the Ahavta es reyacha, that you love your friend. If you have to lireyacha, to your friend. So the way the Rav understands it, there's a big difference over here. You should love everything about the person, not the person himself, because that's impossible. You're different from your friend, but everything about him you should start to love. Be happy when he's happy, be sad when he's sad. If you're dealing with your own simcha and misfortune, it's about the guy, not the guy himself. You should look at whatever the guy has, and anything that he has, make sure that he doesn't lose it. That's the whatever belongs to your friend, make sure that doesn't get out. And at the end of the pasuk, that's the idea, he says, of Ani Hashem. That if he does this for the purpose of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then he truly is serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Meshach Chachma, the Baalei Tos, the Paneach Raza talk about this in a certain way. Love your friend for what he has, and don't want it, don't be jealous of it, as the Ramban said, and then don't even think anything of it. This is what the person needs. So, what should you do in order to get there? There's Reb Shur over here, but the Chafetz Chaim gives a tremendous mashal. Listen to this mashal the Chafetz Chaim gives. Reuven hates Shimon. Hates Shimon. Cannot stand him for something that Shimon did to him. He'll never forgive him. Never forgive him. What Shimon just did to me, there's no way I could ever forgive him for it. No way. Okay, so Reuven is walking down the street, and a guy comes out and says, you'll never believe what I just saw. Never believe what I just saw. This guy has no idea that Reuven's in a fight with Shimon. No idea what Shimon just did to Reuven. You'll never believe what I just saw. I just saw Shimon going in with a bunch of great Gidolei Ador, great, great tzaddikim, great Rabbanim. And all these great Rabbanim stood up for Shimon, shook his hand, and asked him for a bracha. It's unbelievable. I couldn't believe it. So Reuven looks at it and he's like... At first, he's like wondering, like a little bit of guilt inside, but he's like, well, Shimon must be an unbelievable charlatan. He was able to fool all of those rabbis and make them think, if only the rabbis knew, then they would never shake his hand or do anything. If they only knew what he did to me, and that's that. Yeah. Reuven walks down a little bit further,
And then he says, he hears that another man comes. He says, listen, I just saw the Gadol Hador. Let's call it, Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Chaim Kanievsky, when Shimon walked into the room, Chaim Kanievsky stood up for him and asked him to sign his sefer. Sign his sefer for him. That's what everybody does, right? With Big Gadolim, that's that. So now Reuven is just like, well, Chaim Kanievsky wouldn't be fooled by just a nobody. I mean, come on, there's something wrong here. But he's like, but come on, but Shimon did to me. I can't. But now he's starting to feel real regret. Then another guy comes up and he says, you'll never believe it. Tchias Anisim happened. And Rav Shimon Bar Yochai and the Rambam were standing talking to one another, and they pulled over Shimon and said, Shimon, what do you think about this subject? And as the Rambam and Rav Shimon Bar Yochai are talking with Shimon, Eliyahu HaNavi walks by and he says, oh, Shimon, I just heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself that Shimon is the Gadol Hador, the Tzaddik of his generation, that there's nobody like him, right, in the entire world. So what's Reuven thinking now? Reuven's just like, maybe I was wrong. I might have been wrong. Because there's no way you can fool HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're not going to fool Eliyahu HaNavi. Right? As much as you can fool maybe somebody around here, but there's no way that that could happen. There's no way that that could be. Reuven admits that he was wrong, and he goes over to Shimon, and he begs for his forgiveness. Says to Chafetz Chaim, this is how the pasuk ends. V'yahavtel reicha kmocha, ani Hashem. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem sees through everything. I look through, I can see everything that everyone does. And yet I still love you. And I love this man as much as I did before him. I know what you've done. I know what this guy's done. And I love you as much as it possibly could be. You should know that if I love the guy, then the guy is a tremendous tzaddik. How does that work? I'll deal with it. That's what it's like. So in order to get over what a person might have done to you, to not take revenge, to feel a love for another person that you don't necessarily feel that love for, that you don't necessarily feel like you like him, think of it in terms of Ani Hashem. I am HaKadosh Baruch Hu who is helping you. I am Hashem who loves this guy. I am Hashem who is doing everything over here. That's the concept, says the Chafetz Chaim. It's a tremendous concept over there. That's the idea. The Arizal says, hi, just put it in the kitchen. Yeah. I'll do it. What's up, Jake?
Can we just say that Acher and Rabbi Akiva, God loved the same?
In a way, yes. There's no difference between Elisha ben Avriah and Rabbi Akiva and the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves somebody. Yes. Loves Rabbi Akiva more? I don't know. You can't say that. I don't know. I don't know how that works. Rabbi Akiva is closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you'd assume, than Elisha ben Avriah. But yes. I know it's impossible to think, Jake, that God loves you as much as he loves me. I hear that. I totally hear it. I know. It's like shocking that it could be, you know, that how could that be? But yes, yes. In a way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves everybody as it is, and that's that. You know what there's a mitzvah to do? I shouldn't say this. I've read this before, but I never understood the why. The Arizal says you have to be mekayim the mitzvah of the ahavta l'reacha kamocha before you daven, or your tefillah is worth nothing. Unbelievable. You have to accomplish this mitzvah, and if you don't, there's no tefillah. You might as well not daven.
That's
what the result says.
That's like when you go to like the little filling stand.
Yeah.
On the card there, because usually they do the bridge thing where you just say Shema, like you say.
Yeah.
Before you say Shema, it says, Harini Mikabela, and it's about to say Shema, so there's more fun.
It says that line?
Yeah.
Why were you at that stand? It just happened to me. Notice how nobody else knows that? Nobody else.
Okay. I don't think it's just there.
That's because some people don't.
My children don't
know. No, your children don't. Yeah, it does say it. But it's from the Arizal. So what's chat? Why do you have to accomplish the mitzvah of the Aftel Reach HaKamocha in order for your tefillah to be accepted? How does that understand? So the party says it says an unreal pshat. An absolutely unbelievable pshat. He asks, how can a person daven for his friends? How can you daven for your friend? Why would a Kodesh Baruch Hu listen to your tefillahs? You're not your friend. Let the friend daven. How can I daven for somebody else and it should work? What does that mean exactly? So he says the idea. Muscle the two best friends. And I think we've all heard this muscle before in various ways. Two best friends. Okay? These two best friends are there. These two best friends, well, they loved each other tremendously. They did everything, whatever. One guy did something that was illegal. And the king found out about it. And the king was going to have one guy killed. Yeah, he caught him, threw him in jail, and was going to have him killed. So the friend ran to the king and begged him for clemency. Please let my friend go. Let him go back to his house. Let him give his will. He'll talk to his kids. Let him say goodbye to his family before he's executed. Please, please, please. So the king said, I can't. He's going to run away. If he does that, I'm never going to see him ever again. There's no way I'm going to get him back here. So the guy said, listen, I'll put myself in jail for my friend. And if he never comes back, you can kill me instead. Kill me instead of my friends.
That's not problem. Do whatever you need. Just that's what I need to do. To which the king looks at him and he says, like, you're willing to sacrifice your life for your friend? You're willing to do that? And don't give me all Tale of Two Cities. Okay, I don't want to go into Charles Dickens right now. But some. But you don't know what I'm talking about. People read. So the idea is, right, is that the friend was willing to give up his life. Said the king, I wish I had a friendship like you. Such a friend will make sure that his friend will never sin again. And he pardoned both people. Here's the pshat. If the ahavta l'reacha kamocha is applied, what you're saying is that I love my friend so much, I'm willing to take his place. I'm willing to be moser nefesh for my friend. That when my friend does something wrong and he sins and he deserves to be punished, I'll take the punishment. It'll be my sin. I'm willing to take it on. And then you can daven for your friend. That anything that your friend has can happen for you, that you can do it instead. That's the pella. That's the idea. Says the idea, it says the part is Yosef. The idea is Hashem can't allow the punishment to go through. He can't punish two people. If this guy is such a good friend, he's going to feel like he's dying with it. It can't allow it to be. That's what you have to do before you start davening. If you're davening for Klal Yisrael, says the Arizal, then you have to accept upon yourself that you accept the chatoim of Klal Yisrael, a love for Klal Yisrael, as if you're willing to make Moser Nefesh. That's the idea. Now, Gemara Shabbos Daf Lamed Aleph. We all know this Gemara. There are four Gemaras over here right in a row where a prospective ger comes up to Shammai and says, make me a ger in order to whatever. And Shammai smacked him around a little bit, like punched him in the face. And Hillel looked at him and made him into a ger. So this is the famous story. The ger went up to Hillel, or the prospective ger went up to Hillel to teach me the whole Torah while I'm standing on one foot. Al rego achas. Tell me the entire thing. And that became part of a vernacular. You know, you say, al rego achas. Just tell it to me, al rego. Tells me quickly. If you haven't heard that, again, go to yeshiva, people. Okay? But that's al rego achas. Okay? So he said that. That's the idea of what it is. Well, what do you do? So Hillel told him, ma desoni loch, that which is despised by you, al tavid lechavercha, don't do to your friend. Idach perushahu. The rest of the Torah is a perish of that line. Just of that line. What's hated by you, don't do to your friend. Everything else is a parish. Zil gummer. Go learn the rest of it yourself. That's what Hillel told this prospective ger. That's what he told him. Now think about that for a second. The ger was not being chutzpahic. He was asking a serious question, even though it sounds like a silly question to say it on one foot. He's asking for a statement, says the Kli Yakar, that's so fundamental, that it'll be the basis, it'll be the rego. Give me a statement that's al rego achas. I've never learned Torah before. I didn't grow up with Uncle Moshe. I have no idea, said this ger, how to base my Judaism. What is the line that I need to know that the whole Torah encapsulates? What's something that I should know going into it? What's my introduction, the ger said to Hillel. What do I need to know? So Hillel told him, everything is based on this pasuk of the Ahavta L'Reacha Kamocha. That's what he told him. Now here's the pella. Number one, that is not the pasuk that we use. There's a Gemara Makos, Daf Chaf Dalet, that mentions that Chavakuk took all the mitzvahs of the Torah and put it into one. Tzadik b'emunasi yichya. That a tzadik lives with emuna. That if you have emuna, you've done every other mitzvah in the Torah. With proper emuna, done in the right way, you have everything in the Torah. Tzadik b'emunasi yichya, by the way, is Rashi Tevazov. That's correct. That's right. Any others?
What's the Gemara?
Just us two? 102. Gemara of Baal, which means I rule. There's a couple others. It is not a Bodhisattva. Called Baal, if you used improperly, but Tzvi doesn't. Right? There's a couple others. There's no way. There's a couple others of what it stands for.
You know Donald Trump is the same Gemara as Mashiach Ben David?
Yeah, but so do I. By the way, that he's not Mashiach, that I can guarantee. I'm just saying. And by the way, that reference, a couple years from now, on this tape, is going to be very dated. Yeah. Who's Donald Trump? The guy that ran? It's going to be, but yeah.
You'd also go to Tzadik Tahor.
Tzadik Tahor. What?
Donald Trump.
Donald Trump. It is? Same thing? Tzadik Tahor? Somebody has a lot of time in his hands. Honestly, I guess that's what Ben Hassan is for. I don't want to hear this. All right, anyway. So the kasha is, wait a second. This is not the most important line in the Torah. What should Hillel have said? Hillel should have said to him, believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that should have been it. Tzadik b'emunasi yichya. You should have told him. That's what you should do. Well, you shouldn't have told them, Ma d'soni loch, al tavid l'chaverecha. You shouldn't have told them that. That's not the pshat behind it. So the answer is, the end of the pasuk is Ani Hashem.
Ani Hashem says the Kliyaka. The Achal Reicha Kamocha, if you love your friend like you love yourself, that you work any relationship between you and your fellow friend, then Memela, eventually you are going to have a relationship between you and a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's going to follow up. The love that you have for your friend will be like, if you're Ayel Vlamata, you're Ayel Vlamala. You're going to be loved by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's going to be a relationship automatically. He says the Kliyaka. That's how your relationship with the God is the end goal. The means to get there is through V'Hatzal Reicha Kamocha, working on Bein Elvin L'Chavera. That's how Hillel understood it. But yes, the end game is Tzadik Ben Manasseh Yechia. Even Hillel agreed that the Chidah says that it was always meant to be for both. That when we say, Ma Disani Lach Al Tzadik L'Chavercha, your friend is not only your literal friend. Your friend is also a Kadosh Baruch Hu. What is hated by you, what you wouldn't want, don't do to God. God wouldn't want that either. That's the idea behind it. And that's something as well that a person can go ahead. I once heard from somebody in Yishurin, a Dasher, Reb Heshi Wengrill, told me a pshat in this that I'd never heard before, and it's brilliant. But Gary was asking, listen, I'll regalachas. When I'm in this world, I don't have that much time in this world, and I'm only in one Gilgal, and this Gilgal, how can I possibly do everything I need to do? How many mitzvahs could I possibly accomplish? There's 613 mitzvahs out there. Over 400 of them are korbanos. So how am I going to accomplish any of those? Actually, 400. About 300 of them are korbanos. How am I going to accomplish them? I'm not going to be able to do it. I'm not a kohen. How can I do birchas kohenim? Maybe in a previous life I was a kohen, but I'm not a kohen now. How can I do birchas kohenim? I don't own land in Eretz Yisrael. I can't do shemitah. I can't do truma. I can't do meister. How am I supposed to do this stuff? How am I supposed to do all the mitzvahs that we have? We have a limited amount of mitzvahs. So what did Hillel tell him? There are two ways to accomplish every mitzvah in the world. Two ways that you could accomplish a mitzvah that you yourself don't have shaykhus to. Number one, by loving your friend, and by your friend loving you, and having arvus, a connection from one to the other, if your friend does the mitzvah, it counts as if you did the mitzvah yourself. By having that love, you're able to accomplish the mitzvah through your friend. That's one way. Another way to accomplish mitzvahs is to learn the psukim. Right? Learn the psukim that they're dealing with. Go learn the psukim and say, this, you brought a korban. It's as if you brought the korban correctly. You can do all that. Now listen to what he said. Hillel turned to the ger and he told him, the guy is like, wait, how am I supposed to accomplish all 613 mitzvahs? I can't do it. I'm a ger. I'm not a kohen. I'm not able to do half these mitzvahs. What am I supposed to do? So what did Hillel tell him? Don't worry. Marikhtani loch al tzad l'chabercha. If you love your friend, you automatically get the mitzvahs of your friend. And idach perusha zil gamer. The rest of his parish, go learn it. And if you learn it, you'll get all the other mitzvahs that nobody else is able to do. Brilliant. Those are the two answers as to how to be able to accomplish every mitzvah in the Torah without any problem. That's what we end up saying. There's Rav Schwab over here, an amazing Rav Schwab, and so too Rav Victor Miller. Goes through and says, Rav Schwab is something different, and I'm not going to be able to say it right now. Rav Victor Miller says, the reason why this mitzvah was chosen over the mitzvah of Amuna is because this is by far the most difficult trial that anyone goes through. By far. Out of any other mitzvah that you deal with in your lifetime, the biggest one is V'Ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha. It's the most challenging and the one that you will deal with almost every second of every day of your life, especially if you're married and you have kids. V'Ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha, when you're upset, is not an easy mitzvah to accomplish. It's not an easy mitzvah to do. I'm sorry?
Does that apply to women?
It's an interesting call. You know, it's actually brought down as a shaila. How can a man accomplish the mitzvah of V'Ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha to a woman who's not his wife? How does that apply? How could he say the absolute? It's a shaila. It's brought down. I forgot where I saw it. It was one of those svarim that I was looking up in order to get here. But it's a shaila. I forgot what the answer is. But he brought down a couple svarim that goes through. Oh, the shaila's a tshuvas on it. There were like six or seven. It must have been the party Yosef that I saw it. But it's an amazing question over there. And that's the idea. Since it's so difficult to accomplish, says Rabbi Kiva, most important mitzvah in the Torah. Because it's the one that applies to us so much. The Sfas Emes says it as well. And he says, that's why we say Ani Hashem at the end. I'm Hashem. I'll help you. I know it's going to be really hard for you. I'm going to help you with it. Rabbi Chanan speaks about this as well, right? But I'm going to sort of skip it a little bit until we get to something else. It's interesting that the line Hillel used for the ger, you notice, was a negative. Madasani loch al tavid lechavercha. He shouldn't have said that. What's hated to you, don't do to your friend. He should have said, love your friend like you love yourself. Love thy neighbor like thyself. That's what he should have said. He should have said it in the positive. So why did Hillel use the negative to this ger? He should have said the positive. So you should know. Targum Yonasan ben Uziel translates it as the negative. Unculus translates it as the positive. Is that interesting? I don't know if this is true. This is my own. I didn't see this anywhere, but I'm sure somebody says it somewhere. It's possible that Yonasan ben Uziel was a Talmud of?
Hillel.
Hillel. Hillel's the one that said the line, Madasani Lach al Tav the Chaverecha. He translated the line that way. See, Yonas ben Uziel wrote the line like his Rebbe said the line, in the negative. Unkelus was not. Unkelus was a Talmud of a Talmud. He learned from Rebbe Yeshua and Rebbe Eliezer, Rebbe Yeshua ben Hanani and Rebbe Yosef ben Hyrcanus. Rebbe Yosef ben Hyrcanus was actually from Beis Shammai, and Rebbe Yeshua was from Beis Hillel. It could be that Unkelus learned it like Beis Shammai. And he said, no, love your friend like you love yourself. I'm thinking, I don't know.
Yeah. It's not to do good, it's to do no harm.
To do no harm. Yeah, there is a lot of lines, but why? Why is it in that negative? I'm just pointing out that Yonas ben Uziel said it the way. The Marsha asks it on the Gemara and says, again, compare it to the beginning. Lo sikum, don't take revenge. Lo sitor, don't bear a grudge. Be'achal recha kamocha is also, don't do anything wrong. The same way the beginning of the pasuk is in the negative. Don't do this wrong, don't do that wrong. So to over here, don't be a bad person. That's the idea behind it, how he understands it. We're told not to do evil like them in the negative sense. But the Chiddush HaRim says something beautiful again. An unbelievable idea. A Jew has the ability to connect to another Jew even though he's never met him before. We daven for Jews that are lost. Remember those two girls that were lost in Florida not too long ago? Over Pesach or Regva or whatever it was, right? In Orlando and whatever, and they got lost and everything. People were davening, but we never heard of them before in our lives. I wouldn't recognize them off the street. Yet I still set Dylan for them. I'm still davening for them. Right? There are people in Eretz Yisrael when there's a terrorist bombing. Everybody gets together and says Dylan. Even if you don't know who the people are, that doesn't matter to you. Jews have the ability to connect to other Jews even without knowing them, without doing anything to them. It doesn't matter, we still are connected. For a non-Jew, that's a difficult concept to understand. What's the connection between you two? How in the world could that be? Why are we giving money to Mishulachim? How do you know these people? They'll just randomly walk around. It's amazing that we give that much money to that many people as they're walking around. It's amazing. You don't know these people, and yet still we give them. Says the concept. Although the Torah can use this idea in a positive light for us, because we're Jews, Hillel was talking to a prospective ger. That means that the guy wasn't
Jewish.
Such a guy cannot get the positive of love your friend like you love yourself. A non-Jew can't understand the concept of loving your friend like you love yourself, like we can. A non-Jew has to have it in the negative. Don't do to your friend what you wouldn't want done to yourself. It has to be in the negative form for him to understand it better. In a way, that sort of answers why it's like that when it comes to the Hippocratic Oath as well. It's a difficult concept to say, treat the guy like you would yourself. I can't. He's not me. A Jew can understand that. It's difficult for a non-Jew to understand that. It's more difficult for a non-Jew to understand that. I'm not saying they can't. I'm not saying that we do. I'm saying it's more easier, says the Chiddush HaRim, for us, harder for them.
In the positive, it can be taken out of context or twisted out of control. Meaning, like a person, what's to say what I want for myself is what you want.
I hear you.
But to tell me not to do harm to you in the way that I want harm, well, that I can do.
I definitely hear you. Remember the case that I gave in the beginning. In the very beginning, the way Be'atha Re'echa Kamocha comes in is not what you would want in that situation that the other guy is in, but rather what. Now the choice is right there in front of you. What that choice is for that person, the choice is right there in front of you. What would you do there? You're right. To define Be'atha Re'echa Kamocha is difficult. You're right. It's difficult. But nonetheless, it's there. So the Magen Yudubno says another answer. The Magen Yudubno says, okay, well, there's another thing altogether. But I thought of an answer years ago. And later on I found that it's somewhat said by Rabbi Chanan Wasserman. I gave it in a Musar Shmuz 2 years ago. And I really think that this is chop behind the pause. I really think it's chop behind why he did it in the negative sense. Maybe I got it from somewhere else, but I'm pretty sure that this is it. Hillel was telling him that granted there's Torah Shebachsav, the Afdol Reach HaKamocha, but you need Torah Shebalpeh to come with it. Torah Shebalpeh is Magasani Loch Al Tav L'Chavercha. The Afdol Reach HaKamocha can be translated in many ways. Remember we just said above with the Rambam's Pshat and the Ramban's Pshat and the way to understand it according to Chafetz Chaim and the way to get it according to Gemara and Kiddushin, the way to understand it for somebody, a Misa Yafeh. There's so many ways of taking the Afdol Reach HaKamocha. There's tens of ways of understanding the Pasuk if you use it in the positive light of the Afdol Reach HaKamocha. There's so many different ways to learn it. But you need Torah Shebalpeh. You need somebody to get up there and say it to you as Magasani Loch Al Tav L'Chavercha. That's the way to translate it. Hillel purposely used the wrong terminology. Not positive, but in the negative term to show him sometimes that's the way the rabbis have to do things to in order to explain it in a better light. It's the same way the Gemara right beforehand. The guy goes up to Hillel and he says, I believe you there's a Torah Shebachsav. I don't believe you about Torah Shebalpeh. Hillel said, oh yeah? Let's learn the Aleph Beis. Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet. And the next day, he teaches him Tuf Shin Reish Kuf. He said, the day before you taught him to be in a different order. He said, so you're relying on me. You need me. You need a rabbi.
So if you need a rabbi, then believe me about everything else. You need a Torah Shmuel peg. You need somebody explaining to you how to work these things. Said hello over here as well. I'm purposely changing it into Aramaic. I'm purposely changing around the whole concept and giving you the opposite of what the Pasuk says to show you that in order to learn, you have to sit there and you have to understand there's not just Torah Shabbat. There's Torah Shabbat Peh as well, and that's what he's telling the Ger. I think that that's the obvious way of going through it, but that's that for right now. So now, we went through all the different translations. We went through some of the different kiyumim, how to be Mekayim the Mitzvah. We talked about how it might or might not apply for a Russia itself. Talked about the Ramban with Rav Dessler and Rav Hirsch over here. We then said, how can you love a person like you love yourself? The Chofetz Chaim's Mashal. We talked about the Arizal davening before you daven. And then we went through the Gemara and Lamed Aleph in Shabbos about the Ger. And number one, what he was being told, what he was being told by Hillel. And number two, why it was in the negative terminology instead of the positive terminology. We'll stop with that, guys. Over to Shabbos.